Welcome to Sermons from Silver Moon with Pastor Phil Barber of the Silver Moon Full Gospel Church. The Silver Moon Full Gospel Church is committed to preaching the Word of God and invites you to join them for Sunday morning worship at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night service at 6:30. Now, here's Pastor Phil Barber with today's message.
This is a continuation of last Sunday. How God prepares you to confront what scares you the most. And we've been on this theme a little bit, how God prepares you for your unknown tomorrow. I've come up with three words, and we'll probably hear it a lot, but let me go ahead and give you the three words. And it's this. God gives you a promise or promises that he wants to fulfill in your life. Number two, and this is the difficult part, is the process that you'll have to go through to take possession of those promises. So it's simple, and I'm trying to decide whether I want to use the word preparation in there, so if I expand to 4 points, but it's promise, process, possession. Now, a lot of us want to hear about the promises or promise, and we like to hear about the possession, but I'm going to be honest with you. The most difficult part of the whole of this is the process, going through the process to become what God wants you to become. And so we'll be looking at that. But God has a plan and a purpose for your life. See, God is guiding you toward your ultimate purpose. And you will face trials and temptations that are unknown to you today. But you'll become familiar with them because God has spoken and God is with you. You will do the impossible, which hopefully we'll learn. God will stand by you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And because he does, you will, listen to, you will emerge victorious over all your fears, all your doubts, all your obstacles, all your trials, all your temptations, because God is with you. So let's look again just for a moment at verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, restoration here is not salvation. He's talking to people who are already sheep. These are sheep that have already been made to lie down in green pastures and drink and walk by still waters. These are sheep that the shepherd is fattening up, getting them ready for the journey, giving them the strength they need. These are sheep. And what is happening? Your soul is being restored. You are being renewed. You read that in the New Testament again. Renew your inner man. Put on the new man. And what's happening? You're being restored. And you and I need to understand that this is a work that needs to happen in our life. Because guess what happens? There's some of us who have become lukewarm. There's some of us are backslidden. There's some of us who are straying away. There's some of us who have become weary in well-doing. There's some of us that are far more worldly than we are holy. There's some of us who lack the fire, the zeal that God wants us to have. Some of us have lost desire to pray. Some of us don't study our Bible anymore. Some of us don't have the commitment we used to have. And some of us have lost our first love. And some of us have strayed so far away from God that deep down we even wonder about our salvation. And so God restores our soul. He brings us back to where we ought to be so we can go through the process that God wants us to go through. See, remember this. God wants you to have a spiritual story, testimony. And what the story is about, God has done this through me, for others. For his glory, for your good, and for my blessing. But God's going to put us all through a process. Wants us to. And you should be able to have a story about that process. So, we're in green pastures. We're beside still waters. God is fattening us up so we can make the journey. Because guess what? There's not going to be as much grass as we go. There's not going to be as much water as we go through this. It's going to be difficult. And guess what? Can I tell you this? If we were very honest, most of us don't want to go through the process. I don't want the hardships. I don't want the difficulties. I don't want the trials. I want the temptations. I want my cake and ice cream too. And I don't want to have to bake it. And I don't have to go buy it. Just give it to me. But there's a process that you're going to have to go through. Now, here's what you got to get. He leads me beside still waters. When it's there, the word lead in the Hebrew, there's two different words. The first one is he's going to do everything for you. Here's the green pastures. Here's the still waters. This is the easy life. Get ready. Here, enjoy yourself. But when he says the next, I lead you in the paths of righteousness. Now, listen to me. Can you all say that? He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Say it with me. For his. Not about you. I wish it was. It's his namesake. It's so that people will know the name of the Lord. That's what your testimony is about. Your testimony, when you get a spiritual story, it's not about you. It's about him. What does Psalm 23 verse 1 say? The Lord is my shepherd. Who is the subject of that sentence? The Lord. You're the direct object. You benefit because he's your shepherd. But the Lord is my shepherd. I should know. He's your shepherd. It's about him. And so your testimony's off course if it's about you. Forgive me. Amen. But here's what you need to understand about the second word, lead. He restores your soul. He gets you ready. So you'll say, yes, Lord, to your way and to your will. What is happening, remember I used this word last week. And I'm going to tell you what, it was Holy Spirit anointed because it wasn't in the notes. I don't think it's in the notes now. I meant to put it in there. The word I used was alignment. While I was preaching, the anointing came on me and said, what is happening here? The Lord is putting you in an alignment with him. He restores your soul so that he can lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, what does that mean? That means that you, if your soul is restored, you will see what God sees. You'll think what God thinks. You will decide what God decides, and you'll walk the way that God walks. You will see like he sees. You will think like he thinks. You'll decide like he decides, and you will walk like he walks. And so the Lord says, we're going in this direction, and you say, yes, Lord. I'll go with you. I will follow you. I'll go down this path. I don't know where we're going, but I'll do it. Sometimes, let me tell you what this means. Sometimes you'll take a job that pays less because the Lord tells you to. Sometimes you will not move because the Lord tells you not to. I've seen in my ministry people move from their church cross country and lose out with God, knowing they shouldn't move. Now, I'm not saying that's every time. Sometimes you will move, but it's doing what God wants you to do. The young people, I kind of got on them last week, and they're not here to hear this, but this is what you got to learn about dating. You'll date only who God lets you date. God is not impressed that they're good looking. God's not impressed that they have money. God's not impressed. They're the most popular guy in school. So young people need to ask God, should I date this person or not? That doesn't mean you're going to marry him. But you only go out with those who God lets you date. And let me tell you what. Dating may seem like a big deal, but I'm going to tell you there's a bigger deal. Mary. You want to say, Lord, do you want me to marry him or her? And if he says no, then you obey. You realize that every step of your life is orchestrated by the Lord. It's like this. I will work in this ministry because the Lord wants me to work in this ministry. Deanna and I took a church in Houston, Texas. It was in an industrial area, very poor area. I mean, it just wasn't much. I guess they couldn't get anybody else. I was 21 years of age, and they asked Deanna and me to be pastors. And we made $80 a week. On a five-week month, that came to $66. But we said yes. And I'm bragging, I'm going to tell you, because what was it? The process for me was eventually I would become a missionary. You may not know this, but it's not a high-paying job. I wasn't getting rich. I'll tell you how rich I am. I live with my mother-in-law. But you know what? When you're able to say, Lord, I'll go for $80 a week, the Lord knows he can ask you to do something else a little more difficult. And there'll be times that God may ask you to take a ministry to do something that is difficult. What are you saying? What could that be? It could be taking a turn in the nursery. It may be helping in the kitchen. It may be, maybe you'll get the honor of being in the worship band, which means you get to come an hour every Sunday morning early and sometimes come early on Wednesday night and practice. And then you get emails that tell you we're going to sing these songs. And I bet you do kind of expect them to look at it, right? Read the email, open it up. And if there's a new song, kind of listen to it. You know, I mean, that's what it is. It's that. All I'm saying is, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do because I'm in alignment with you. I will serve you. I'll let you do what, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Right now in my life, I have what I call three projects outside the church. I find myself driving at 10 o'clock at night, halfway to Mount Vernon, picking a person up, getting them in my car, taking them to Mount Vernon, finding them a place to stay, work, help them get their car going. And it's just a regular routine. And now I got another one like that. That's not very far down there. And then I got another one like that. And I'm going to tell you what. The other day, one of them wrote me. And here's what he wrote. Hey, dude. I'm out of gas. I'm down here. And I thought, oh, great. I get to serve God. And you know what? It's no benefit to the church. No benefit to me. One time I helped the guy, and he is broke down. It is like 22 degrees. And Deanna said, you're going to go out and help him? I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to be the last guy he called on his phone there. And if he freezes to death, they're going to say, what did he tell you? So I went and got him and got him a room. I'm just saying, you serve the Lord. Lord, yes, 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 to your will and to your way. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll serve you, Lord. When your soul's restored, when you're in alignment with that, because guess what? It's going to happen. I got to jump way ahead. It's not going to be easy. Noah, I want you to build a boat. Oh, great. I've been wanting a little John boat to go down the lake here. No, I need a bigger boat. Here's the plans. Now, you're not like me. It'd be like, you're kidding. Where am I going to get all the lumber for that? I don't have the money to hire a crew to build it. Oh, we're not in a hurry. I'm going to give you 120 years to build this. You're going to have plenty of time to build it. And while you're building, I don't want you to proclaim that judgment is coming. I don't know about that. Abraham, Sarah, I got a plan, promise for you. You leave here and you go to there, to Canaan. I know you've never been there, and I'm going to give it to you someday. I'm going to give it to your descendants. I'm going to give it to them. Now, ladies, you can relate to this. Can you imagine Sarah walking in and telling her parents the good news that she's moving away? Where are you going, Sarah? What neighborhood are you moving to? Well, Mom, I'm moving out of state. I'm across two or three state lines. And why are you going? Well, God said he's going to give us this land. And he's going to give me a baby. Now listen to me. We all know that Sarah had trouble having a baby. It took her a while to have a baby once they got there. But here's what you sometimes forget. She had trouble having a baby where she was at. She had already tried to have a baby for a long time. Can you imagine what her friends said about her behind her back? That poor girl. Believing if she moves way down there with that silly Abraham. I always knew something was wrong with Abraham. I always worried about him. And now he's got this idea of going down there. But when you're in alignment with God, you do what you think you can't do because you know that God is with you, leading you and guiding you and watching over you. Moses, go back to Egypt. And we talked about that one. He had five reasons he didn't want to go back. Five excuses. Five of them. And Moses, not only when you get back to Egypt, you got to walk into Pharaoh's court, which isn't really allowed unless you're invited, and tell him, let my people go. Do you think Noah was scared when he got that job? I mean, in human terms. Do you think Abraham and Sarah had a little trepidation when they packed up and started? It's okay to be human. God understands that. Let me try to give you an example. A lot of people tell you, don't tell God that stuff. That's negative. Let me tell you what. You can tell God how you're feeling. Remember when the Lord said to Peter, he said, Peter, remember, he's preaching and the crowd's so great he needs to get away from the crowd so he can teach them. So he says, I need your boat. He gets in the boat and he teaches the crowd. And after he gets through teaching, God's reward, but he says, hey, Peter, go on out there and into the deep and throw your nets out. And you know what Peter did? Hey, Lord, we fished all night. We've done it. It didn't work. There's no need to do that. We already know there's no fish there. When he made his excuses. But here's what he said. Nevertheless, at your word. That's when you come in alignment. You can have all your excuses, all your reasons not to do it. But then you say, nevertheless, at your word. And guess what you'll do? When all the world is afraid, there's a giant in the valley, and everybody's scared. Everybody. You say, I'll go. I'll go. And that'll be your testimony. You won't be, you just say, God gave me the strength to go into a valley that if he wasn't with me, I'd never gone into. I never attempted. God desires that you have a testimony, whether it's being a giant slayer or an ark builder or a Pharaoh confronter or forsaking all and going where he tells you, I'm going to be in alignment with you, Lord. I know, Lisa, you're trying to figure out where I'm at, and I am trying to figure out where I'm at, so hang on here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now get this. If there's a shadow, listen to me. That means whatever you're afraid of is nearby. Am I right or wrong? If the shadow's on you, guess what? Have you ever been outside and the sun's shining and a cloud come over, just one little cloud, or a plane, you see the shadow? That shadow tells you what? It's there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. I know preachers mean well, and it sounds well, because all we like sheep have gone astray. But this sheep hasn't gone astray. Yea, though I walk through the valley, because my soul's been restored, the Lord's leading me in the paths of righteousness. And then he goes on to say, the Lord is with me, and his rod and staff, they comfort me. So God's with him. He knows that. But you face what's scaring you. Listen, it's maybe a little weird to say it this way, but you don't know people who have been sick, hurting bad. That's a shadow, maybe the reality of it. But they don't want to face it. Some of you nurses here can probably tell. You know what they don't do? They don't go to the doctor because they don't face it. But God will give you the strength to face whatever you're going through. If there's, Shane, am I right? If there's pain in your body, you probably ought to listen to it. He's a nurse practitioner. Nurse Linda, right? Where's Sandy? Back there. You listen, right? But you don't have to fear because the Lord is with you, watching over you. He comforts you with his rod and his staff. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers preach that he uses those two things to whip you with, but that's not the intention here. See if you can find that slide. The little rod is meant to fight off the enemies. I was talking to Mark about my sermon. He said, well, they used the short rod to break the back leg of a wolf when they were attacking. So I'm not going to be afraid because Jesus has got all the authority and all the power that's needed to take care of me. And if I kind of get in a dangerous spot on the edge of the cliff, there's that long staff that he can reach out and pull me back. I'm not going to fear because he's with me and his rod and staff. Don't beat me. Comfort me. Why we preachers want to beat the sheep. There's some hard-headed sheep. I don't know if you know that, but there are sometimes hard-headed sheep. And then it goes on to say, he prepares a table before me. I've gone through the valley. Listen, I don't know what you're going through today. There's a table on the other side prepared for you. On the other side, there's a table prepared for you. I tried to find it again. That's where we're going. Prepared for you in the presence of my enemies. Those who tried to hurt you are going to just stand back in awe that God delivered you. But I'm going to give you another sense. And I don't have time to go into it, but I'm going to tell you this. Not only that, God's going to bring peace in your life with some of your enemies. And they'll be there at that table looking across. Kind of different, right, Bob? But think about it. People I couldn't sit down with, I'll sit down with. God's going to bring peace. He anoints my head with oil, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Listen, he's going to give you the inner strength and power through the Holy Spirit to be victorious. You're going to have more than you can drink. But here's, I want to say this, as trying to get through this sermon. Surely goodness and mercy, and that is God, because in Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, when God declares his name to Moses, he declares to Moses that he is grace and that he's goodness and he's mercy in those passages. And so God is behind you as you go. God's in front. But here's what I want to say. And I usually tell my preachers, never say you're quitting, but I'm breaking my own rule. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of the Lord of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I told you this last week. The Lord's already been down the journey, down the trip. And here's what I want you to get. He's waiting on you to get there. Come on in the house.
Yes.
I'm here.
Yes.
He's with us, and he's waiting on us.
Yes.
He's behind us. There's so many ways to preach Psalm 23. We all think it's a funeral sermon. It's a testimony. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You're going to possess it, guys. You got a promise. There's a process. It may be difficult. It may be hard. You may have shadows over you right now. You may hear the roar of a lion. But the Lord's with you. I don't watch this because the people, I don't really watch it. Annabelle watches everything. Not because, it's just because of her situation. But I sat down with her one day and we were watching a couple on that Survivor, is it called? Or whatever. There are two people and they're in the wilderness for so many days. And these two people are in the jungle and there's a real lion roaring. And they're scared to death. One guy was so scared. One of the guys was so scared, he quit. The woman stayed, which was amazing. And the only thing they had to keep the lion away was a little fire. Think about that. The mighty, powerful lion of the jungle was scared of a little fire. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And I can walk into any dark room because the light of the Lord is with me. And wherever the light goes, the darkness is dispelled. And the light, dark, you know what? Maybe the weather, but night kept, we could leave these lights on all week. We'll do it if you want me to. And you can drive by anytime. But when the sun comes down, the darkness will not put the lights out. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God intends for you to take possession and be victorious. And it's going to be glorious. And you can do it. You may not think you can, but you can. Because he'll anoint your head with oil. Your cup will run over. There's a rod and their staff to comfort you. And he is with you. You can walk into a dark room. You can go into that dark valley. You can face the unknown. You can do the impossible because God is with you. Obey him.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Silver Moon with Pastor Phil Barber. To find out more about today's message, you may contact the Silver Moon Full Gospel Church at 417-472-3360. The Silver Moon Full Gospel Church is located on Highway 59 North between Neosho and Diamond, Missouri. Morning worship is at 10 a.m. with a Wednesday night service at 6:30 p.m. The Silver Moon Full Gospel Church, where the distance is worth the difference.
What can be done, and how does a church or ministry handle allegations that's been made against them? Next time.
Just really hard to deal with the shock of having some kind of allegation come forward. I think if we don't deal with sin within the body, that is a form of almost of mocking God and certainly of dishonoring his name. In the event that you're going to be talking to a child, you would only want a child forensic interviewer to talk to a child. You don't just have anybody interview kids. You get better results if you have people in clear roles with clear tasks and it's separated out.
This is Mark Taylor, and join me on my next Crosspoint as we discuss how to respond to allegations in ministry.
You can hear Crosspoint four times a week, Saturday morning at 1, Saturday afternoon at 2, Saturday evening at 9, and Sunday evening at 7. You can also listen anytime online at kneo.org.